Well, good morning. Great to have you here this morning. Whether you've been coming for 20 years or perhaps Christmas Eve was your first Sunday here and you decided to come back and you're still checking things out, regardless, welcome this morning. Great to have you here as we launch into this new series in January. And but before we get into that, I want to say thank you. Back in October, at our October elders meeting, Arnold Machel, our treasurer, gave a report and said, we're going to be somewhere between $30,000 and $70,000 behind when we end the year. And the next morning, I got down on my knees and I said, God, you are the great provider. And I'm just going to trust you, what you want to do here. And that Sunday, we fired this slide up on the screen saying we basically needed almost $240,000 to finish the year. And so every week in the program, you saw kind of that, you know, the pie chart shrinking. And it came to the last week. Why don't we put that slide up on the screen there, where we still needed $50,000 in the last week. And but you guys gave $869,000 on an $850,000 budget. And I just say thank you. That's absolutely amazing. And I got to admit, I had some fears back at the end of last year, just kind of, you know, facing that shortfall and what it would mean, because we run a pretty lean budget here. But I'm grateful to God and grateful to your participation in that. So thank you. And I know I speak on behalf of all the elders that we know that this is your blood and sweat and tears when you give. And so we take that responsibility, the stewardship of that, very, very deeply and highly. And so we want to steward it well. So thank you. And so we're excited as we go into the new year, what God's going to do. And so we're going to, you know, start off this series as we walk through the book of Joshua. And I trust that you're feeling optimistic and hopeful as you go into this new year. But perhaps in the back of your mind, in the midst of that optimism, is perhaps some nagging thoughts. Maybe some nagging thoughts around fear, and maybe some fears that you might have. Maybe it's the stuff that's on the news or you see on your social media feed, you know. People like these two people, you know, and this week, they were on the news, right? And the Supreme Leader Kim Jong, he said, you know, we got nuclear weapons and we're going to fire them, you know, at the United States. And Donald Trump tweeted back, hey, my nuclear button is bigger than your nuclear button. And besides, mine works, you know, and, you know, this back and forth that's going on there. And it's got to end somewhere, right? And I'm wondering, like, where is it going to end? Like, I mean, the United States has been trying to negotiate with North Korea for kind of decades now. And in the midst of that, North Korea has, I think, advanced their nuclear program. And we're not exactly sure, but like, what's going to happen? Like, I sort of can't see America doing a first strike. Like, that would probably be over 1 million people would die as a result of that. But if they do nothing, like, does it just continue? And like, where is this going to end up? And perhaps maybe, you know, stuff like that that's on the news, you know, the threat of a war. And I mean, it was this week on the news that, you know, if the missiles would come across to America, that we in Metro Vancouver would be, you know, in that line of fire kind of thing. And, you know, what does that mean? And so perhaps it's stuff like that that can easily keep us up at night, or we can be fearful about, you know. Or a friend of mine that I invited for Christmas Eve, and we started talking. We ended up talking about artificial intelligence and how Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, has said that that's what's going to destroy our planet. Artificial intelligence, you know? And we're talking about 3D printers, and I got to admit, I was thinking 3D printers are things like make this table kind of thing. And he was talking about 3D printers that can print rifles and explosives. And yeah, what does that mean for us, you know? Or just even locally, all the shootings in Surrey, and perhaps we fear for our safety. Or maybe it's just stuff in your own life or world. Maybe it's financial challenges, and you wonder, man, can I make this year? Maybe it's health challenges for yourself or for a loved one, and you're fearful about that. Maybe it's a relationship challenge. Maybe there's something in your life that keeps you up at night that you're worrying about. We've got some good news as we dig into Joshua chapter 1 this morning. Joshua chapter 1. Let me give some context to Joshua chapter 1. And why don't we stick a map up on the screen there? All right, you're already on it there. Excellent. So the book of Joshua is about the conquest of Canaan. And so the book of Deuteronomy ends with the death of Moses. And so we've got Moses that has died. Joshua is the new leader. And so they're ready to enter the promised land. And so you can see there, the green is kind of the route of the Exodus that they took. And so they're right about here. And this here is the Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River. And, you know, and ready to take all of this land. Now, they were at that place 40 years ago. But then fear kind of set in. And they backed off. And only two adults, Joshua and Caleb, remain from that time where they're 40 years prior. And the kids that have grown up. And now they're at that moment again, ready to cross the Jordan River, ready to go into Canaan. Is fear going to overtake them again? And there's lots of reasons they could be fearful. There's Canaanite people in all of those cities who are very hostile to them coming. They're not going to be welcomed with open arms. Some of those cities have high walls around them. Those people, this is the Bronze Age, and for that era, some of these Canaanite people have some great technology in terms of a warfare, what they could use. You know, in the past, there's been division in the Israel ranks. So there's lots of reasons for Joshua to be fearful as he's getting ready. But Joshua chapter 1, we see these words and hear these words of encouragement from the Lord. So I invite you to turn there with me or turn on your mobile device and look in the YouVersion. And if you want to sign in, the instructions are there in the back of your program. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Some great words of encouragement. How many are using YouVersion? You use a mobile device and you use YouVersion? Yeah. Quite a number of you. That last verse that I just read there, verse 9, last year in 2017, among the 250 million people who have downloaded that YouVersion app in over 1,000 different languages, of all the people around the planet, that verse 9 was the most highlighted verse, the most shared verse on planet Earth. And so it must speak into something where we as a planet, as a people, as a society are at. So let's dig into it. A couple things that I see here. First of all is that we move forward on the promises of God. Everybody say the word promises. Promises. We see here that Moses is kind of this threefold task that he needs to accomplish. And God kind of gives him three promises to go along with those tasks. He says that, first of all, that you're going to, every place that you set your foot, you're going to gain that territory. That's quite a promise. The land had been promised earlier in the book of Deuteronomy to Joshua's predecessor, Moses. And now it's being promised to Joshua also, that this land that you're going to go into, that land is yours. You can claim that land. Secondly, God says to him, That verse 5, that no one's going to be able to stand against you. That even though there's these enemies and there are these walls and these big cities, nobody's going to be stand against you. And in fact, he says that as long as you live, that's a promise of that, you know, it doesn't matter how old you get, you're going to be able to continue moving forward. And that, again, doesn't derive from, oh, Joshua is this great leader or he's this great military strategist or anything like that. It's the presence of God that's going with him that's going to give him the success. And then thirdly, we see the portioning of all the land that goes out to the various tribes. And that's about half of the book of Joshua is on that. We're not going to necessarily go through all of those chapters. It's a little bit like reading the phone book, you know, as it talks to where all the land is going to. I'll give kind of one message to kind of summarize all of that. But here they are. And no doubt these promises to Joshua strengthened his faith. Because he was one of those 12 spies that Moses had sent out 40 years earlier. 12 spies that had gone into Canaan. And they came back and they had this fruit that they would carry between them and said, take a look at these grapes. Wow, this is an incredible land. It's so fertile. It's so lush. It's so prosperous. Man, this is amazing. But the people there, man, they're giants. We felt like grasshoppers. There's nothing we can do. So 10 out of the 12 spies sent this negative report. And no doubt as they're on the verge of the promised land again, Joshua's thinking back to that. We don't know exactly how old he is here in Joshua chapter 1. I'm guessing he'd be around the age of 80. So he had been 40 at the time where he first went in on that spy mission. Now it's 40 years later. And I'm wondering if he's thinking back to that. But he's got the promises of God here to hang on to. Promises that are going to sustain him. And that's one of the major themes we'll see through the book of Joshua. That Yahweh is this promise-keeping God. That what he says will come to be. Now here in Joshua chapter 1, he doesn't tell Joshua a lot how that's going to happen. Right? He doesn't give him a detailed explanation list. Because we don't live on detailed explanations, right? As followers of Christ, we live on promises. God doesn't always explain to us how A, B, C, D, and E is going to happen, but we can live on His promises because His word is true, His word is good, and He will fulfill what He says He will do. We see that in the book of Joshua. I put it on your outline there. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had swore to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. And friends, as we move forward in 2018, let's go forward on the promises of God. You can depend on God. Stand firm. Move forward in His promises. Secondly, I see in this Joshua chapter 1 is that we not only follow the promises of God, but we need to obey the precepts of God. We need to obey the precepts of God. Three times, and I think it's significant that three times that God gives this reminder to Joshua, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And that word strong means to twist a rope together. And the word courageous means to persist or to conquer. The word courage in Hebrew comes from the word encouragement, which literally means to put your heart into. God knows that the Israelites are going to have all kinds of fear as they're moving forward. But God's saying, be strong and courageous. Yeah, the land is huge there. That I read there in verse 4, that the size of that territory is large. But God's promises are true, and God's word is true, and they need to obey God. And so the question is, what are they going to focus on? As they're on the verge of the Jordan, as they're ready to cross into, are they going to focus upon their fears? Are they going to focus upon the size of those walls? Are they going to focus upon those people? Or are they going to focus upon God and what He says and to obey Him? Because God wants to fill us with faith in the midst of our fears. And along with that encouragement that Joshua gets, hey, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, there's also a challenge that God gives him. And I read those verses, verse 7 and 8. He says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. And verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. So twice he gives that challenge around the law. Everybody say that word law. Law. Now, sometimes when we hear the word law, we think of it kind of in the negative sense, right? We think, oh, I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. But for the hearers back then, when they heard the word law, it was a positive thing. They would associate law with the instruction of the Lord or the teaching of Moses. Now, we don't know how much they had of the law back then. Now we refer to that as kind of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. You know, I don't know if at this point they had all of those five books. Certainly they would have had good portions of it, you know, the Ten Commandments, some of the primary teachings there of Moses. And God is telling them, hey, I want you to obey my precepts, you know, to hang on to this. And he says, in fact, he uses the word meditate. The Hebrew there is hagabeh, to murmur audibly. So to take the law and to murmur it through, to speak it through. And he says, do that day and night, which is a Hebrew expression for always. Like, always keep this book of the law forefront in your mind. Always keep the ways of God in front of you. Always keep meditating on it, and then you'll be successful. And so for the Israelites, like I said, they had some of the Torah, the first five books. We now have got the Torah, plus the historical books, the poetical books, the prophets, into the New Testament, the Gospels, the epistles, all of it. We've got the whole Bible. Let me ask you as we start this new year, what's your plan for Bible intake in 2018? Because as you know, as I know, if we don't have a plan, it tends to get haphazard, right? So you're coming on Sundays, that's great, and you're going to get Bible intake there. But where else in the other 6 days? What's your plan? Maybe it's, you know, reading through the Bible this year. Or maybe it's going to the back there and grabbing from the Welcome Center our daily bread and using that. Or maybe those of you who are on YouVersion, you want to, you know, they've got all kinds of reading plans there, just to jump into one of those reading plans. But to do something that you and I have this plan to have the Word of God kind of inform us and transform our minds so that we can obey the precepts of God. Because without a plan, it's easy for it to become haphazard. Obeying the precepts. One of the commentators I read said this, from Israel's own history at the time of the conquest, God demonstrated that possession of the land was in part contingent on Israel's obedience to the law of Moses. God would not bless his covenant people unless they were obedient to his word. This is clearly the main purpose of the book. For the first part of the book, the author has devoted less attention to Israel's military exploits than he did to the covenant and Israel's obedience or disobedience of that covenant. To obey the law. Now we can sometimes think again with this word obey in a negative sort of sense. But another word would be the word freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. See, in obeying we actually gain freedom. See, we sometimes think, oh man, rules, I hate rules. No rules on me, you know. You're not the boss of me. That kind of a philosophy of life. But as we follow God's ways, that's what brings us freedom. Imagine, you know, a hockey game. How many watched Friday night, the hockey game, Canada-Sweden? Woo-hoo! Yeah, you know? Imagine a hockey game with no rules in it. Just do what you want kind of thing. How could you determine who wins that game? You know, our parents, you say to your kids, hey, go outside and play. But if you don't put any kind of boundary out, you're going to just play on the street. And in Surrey, that's a dangerous thing with the driving. You know? So that God has given us his precepts, his word. And as we follow it, not in the legalistic sense, but as we follow it in grace, as we follow the Spirit, as we obey God, then we truly have freedom. We're living as God wants us to live. His precepts, his law brings life. Also in this passage, we see here about the presence of God, how we need to surround ourselves in the presence of God. So God gives Joshua these encouragements. You know, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. He also gives the challenge, hey, keep following the law. But then God bookends those with these words. Verse 5, No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he goes, encouragement, challenge. And then he bookends it with verse 9. What does he say? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So we got in the midst of this encouragement, challenge, go forward. But God brackets it with his presence. I'm going to be with you. And no doubt that encourages Joshua. Because without God's presence, he's got all reasons to fear, right? This Canaanite resistance that he's going to face, potentially division in the ranks like they've had previously when they tried to go into Canaan. People would lose confidence in his leadership. They could suffer a humiliating defeat there in Canaan. All kinds of fears that he can potentially have that would sap his courage. But knowing that God is with them means Joshua doesn't have anything to fear. We have enemies in our lives. They're obviously different. We're living in a different time period. As the New Testament writers tell us, our warfare is a spiritual warfare. The enemies that we fight against are not flesh and blood, but they're principalities and their powers. And those enemies are real. They're just as real as you and I sitting here now. The enemy is that real in the invisible realm. And we've got to know as we move forward that God's presence is with us. Jesus promised that. In fact, we've just been through Christmas season. His name will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that doesn't change once you take down the Christmas tree. How many still have their Christmas tree up like we do? Yeah, okay, good. It's Ukrainian Christmas. That's what I said to my wife yesterday on the day off. She said, let's take the tree down. I said, hey, Ukrainian Christmas tomorrow, you know, keep it up. One more weekend. Next Saturday we'll do that, yeah. That, you know, when we take the tree down, doesn't mean, oh, okay, Emmanuel is no longer with us. No, God is with us 365 days a year. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. And so that can banish our fears as we move forward. But we've got to move forward, right? We don't just soak in God's presence, go, ah. No, this passage here is a call to action, a call to move forward. As I was thinking about this passage this week, I was thinking about a movie that I'd seen quite a number of years ago. We Bought a Zoo, starring Matt Damon. Anybody remember that movie? Yeah, We Bought a Zoo. Let's take the original family. They live in the UK, so it's based on a true story. The Mee family there, the wife and mother, she passed away from a brain tumor, and so there's Benjamin Mee with his two kids, and they bought a zoo. And I went on the zoo's website, and it's still going. But Benjamin Mee, and he's got this quote that's on the zoo website, and Matt Damon says it in the movie, and I put it on your outline. Benjamin Mee says, you know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery, and I promise you something great will come of it. Friends, this passage is a passage that calls us to action, to step forward courageously in the power of God. That's how the book starts. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. You know, you'd think, wow, Moses just died, this huge, larger-than-life leader. You'd think there'd be a time of national mourning. But God says, no, now is the time for action. Now is the time to pick up and to go and get ready to cross the Jordan River. And he's given them those promises that we read, you know, that for each thing they're going to face, there's a promise that is given to Joshua. The encouragement to be strong and courageous, the challenges given there, and all wrapped up by God's presence, and that he's not going to leave them nor forsake them. And that was enough for Joshua, and it's enough, friends, for you and I. So let me ask you, how is God calling you to move forward courageously in 2018? He's given us all kinds of promises. I put a few on your outline. If God is for us, who can be against us? Or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. But God's promises, they're not designed as kind of pillows for us to rest on, as much as they are prods to move us forward. We move forward in God's promises. We hear from God and we obey. We sense promptings from God and we step forward in faith. I'm going to invite my friend Doug up to the front here. A couple weeks ago, Doug told me a story, and I thought it just fits so well with Joshua chapter 1. You feeling all right?
I'm alive.
You're alive. Hey, that's good. That's good. Well, thanks for being courageous and coming up here. And so you had sent something from the Lord. And can I give you this microphone? You hold it real close there to your mouth.
I have a loud voice, so I probably don't have to hold it too close. I'm nervous and so afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. To make a long story short, this one every 4 years, God's with us for 366 days because of the leap year. Anyways.
Okay.
Now I broke the ice.
Okay, good.
Anyways, I just felt God wanted me to do something, and I was just sitting at home thinking, and what could I do to make a difference to somebody? So I got in my mind that, hey, I've been by Tent City once before. When I drove down 135A there in 108, and I saw the tents for two blocks, I mean, it was like shattering, you know, thinking about these people, eh? So it was a cold day, quite cold, and I had my little coat on, and I decided, what am I going to do? So I thought, maybe I'll go to Tim Hortons and get some donuts and take him down to Tent City. But then I'm kind of scared because the time before when I'd seen what I saw there, I was kind of concerned about my well-being. And then I thought, well, whatever. So I kind of passed off for a few minutes, and I'm still driving, and I see Krispy Kreme. So I go, hey, they have fundraisers there. Maybe they'll give me a deal if I buy donuts and I can take them down. So anyway, I go in, get up the courage to talk to the manager and said I want to get some donuts to go down and blah, blah, blah. So I leave with 15 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Well, probably I didn't leave with them. I ordered them. I went home for a few minutes to do something, to drop something off, came back. They were ready. I picked them up. I loaded them in the back trunk of the car, and I'm heading down to King George in 108. And I'm feeling good about it in a way, but then I start getting close, and I'm getting freaked out. So I pulled up to the substation of the RCMP on the King George Highway at about 107, I guess, and I ring the buzzer to ask them if it's going to be safe for me to go there. Or maybe they could send somebody to kind of monitor. And they told me we don't do this, and here I'm talking to this person on this microphone thing, but first they asked me to wait a few minutes, so I thought they were going to buzz me in the building. Turns out 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, it seemed like a half an hour. But anyway, I pushed the buzzer again, and they come on. I said, I was just talking to somebody, blah, blah, blah. And they go, well, there's nobody in that office. And no, we won't send anybody to do that. But we will tell you, if there's a problem, just call 911. So I drove, I got out to the car, and I'm sitting there, and I'm driving down King George to 108 to the turn left. And I'm thinking, no, I don't think I could do this. I can't eat 15 dozen donuts. So I make a left turn on 135A by the Greek, or that church where they have the pierogies at the corner, and I get about halfway down, and I just pulled the car over on the side of the road, locked it up, got out, hit the trunk button, it popped open, and I picked up a dozen donuts, turned around, opened the box, I go, donuts! And a bunch of people just come swarming, and they're the original donuts, and there's a dozen. And so I held the package open, and I started handing them out with a serviette to them. And about 2 seconds later, I then realized, yeah, maybe God had this plan, because a guy come walking up to me and introduced himself as Ray. And he says that he works for the front room, I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And so he pulled out his blue, those latex gloves he had, and says, do you mind if I help you? And I said, sure. So I just held the box of donuts like this, and he would hand them out, and he had a nice lineup of people there in a nice orderly fashion. So we're giving out all these donuts, and I mean, they're so thankful for it. And unfortunately, the ones that were drugged up, they didn't kind of acknowledge anything. They just kind of looked at you, and the odd one would take one or have one handed to him, and then they just kind of wander away. And I'm thinking, oh, God, there go you or I, eh? So anyways, were giving all these donuts and whatnot, and I felt quite good then. I never even thought about being afraid after that. And I mean, I went down there all by myself. I thought, who could I take with me? But anyways, God was already waiting there, had everything all set up, had Ray waiting for me. And the thing is, when you pulled out the dozen of donuts, there were them all, the jelly-filled ones, you know, the fancy donut ones. It took a long time to give a dozen out because they couldn't decide which one they wanted, like little kids. But anyways, it was a good experience. So I went into the front room as well. They actually allowed me to go in. I mean, I walked in there because anybody can go in there. And you're walking through all these tables. You have to actually go there to see what I saw. It's not, the Bible says, be not afraid. God's with you, right? I mean, I walked out of there and I felt, I never even thought about being afraid, eh? Once I started giving him out and then Ray shows up, there you go, that's my kind of a savior in a way from the street people kind of thing. And he knew them all by name. So I walked around inside the front room, they were giving out donuts, you know, and people were asking for seconds. And I said, well, we've got to make sure everybody gets one. Time we forgive out those donuts, I still had a few dozen left. So I just drove the car a little bit further down and gave them out. The RCMP then showed up. It was almost over, and they were doing a drive-by with one of those SUVs, and they put the window down. Oh, so you're that guy with the donuts. And I said, we got some left. You want some? He goes, no. He says that they need it more than us, and I just saw the size of the policeman. I never said anything, but anyway, you know. But it was a good experience. I would, and I'm sure we all have our times where we're afraid of something, but if you just step out in faith, it worked out good. And, you know, I drove by there yesterday to put some clothes in the box for the that we had. I've been having in my trunk for weeks. The box has gone out on the side of the street here for the church. So I had to go down to King George and 106. So I did a drive-by by Tent City again. And I'm probably going to go again. And
thank
I encourage
you,
other people.
That was a great story. I just appreciate so much. Let's give him a hand. I think it's a great story because all of us get ideas, right? Or we get impressions or we get thoughts and we think, I should. But what I appreciate so much when Doug told me this story is he followed through on it, right? And he pushed through any of the fears that he had. And I think God calls us to the same, right? When you and I have our fears and we're wondering, yeah, should I do this? Should I not do that? To be reminded that God is present with us and he's not going to leave us or forsake us. He's there in Tent City. He's there wherever you are. And whether it's, you know, something outside of these four walls, when God calls you to do it, be strong and courageous. Move forward, just like Doug did, you know? And I'd love to hear your story. You know, or perhaps it's something inside here, internally, that here in our church family, that God will call you to do. Step into that and do it. Somebody blessed me on Christmas Eve. It was December 23rd, 24th in the morning. I was kind of down. I think it has to do with Christmas, the season of Christmas, and maybe expectations around Christmas or ideas I might have. And maybe some of you can relate to that. That is, you know. And yeah, I was kind of just down. I thought, oh man, it's the 24th. I got Christmas Eve services today, and here I am feeling down. So I come here to the Christmas Eve service. Somebody who I've never met, and comes up to me, and gives me a hug. And as this lady gave me a hug, I felt the unconditional love of my Heavenly Father just flowing into my mind. And into my heart. And I sense God saying to me, it's okay, Rick. Just let go. Let go of some of these expectations. It's all good. I love you. Maybe you're going to take a step of faith. Maybe it'll affect somebody else here at Grace Point. Or maybe it's something not involving other people. Maybe it's in your mind that God wants you to be courageous in your mind. Because the greatest battle that's happening is between our two ears, right? I got an old school Christmas letter over Christmas. And it was from a friend of ours, Robin. And I asked for permission from her to share this. And she says, in October, I went to London and Paris with four ladies that I have been on parent council with the last few years. It was an opportunity that came about last March. Elaine caught wind of a British Airways seat sale and sent out an email to see who wanted to go. The only reason I said yes was that I had to make a snap decision. Had I been left to mull it over, I would likely have said no. I can talk myself out of anything. I think a lot of us are like that, right? When it comes to kind of analyzing, and then we overanalyze it, and then we kind of do, you know, paralysis by analysis, and we're thinking, and then we have this idea, but then the more we think about it, we kind of talk ourselves out of it. And just like here in Joshua chapter 1, the Israelites are moving forward into Canaan. In a sense, the Canaanites are kind of like squatters in the land. You know, they don't belong there. God has decreed that this land is for the people of Israel. And so they're moving into it, so they in a sense have to kick these squatters out. Well, in the same way, friends, you and I have squatters that are living in our mind that we've got to kick out. They don't have the right there. Your inheritance is in Christ. The verse I read earlier, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. You and I have got to kick out those squatters that can live in our mind. The squatters that have names like anxiety or worry or depression or fear or insecurity or whatever it may be. We kick those squatters out and we move forward with the mind of Christ. And what's God calling you to be courageous for in 2018? Is it something inside? Is it involving somebody else? Somebody out there? Something out there? Friends, as you go forward, God is with you. Don't be afraid. God's promises, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I just learned 366 times, you know, that God's going to be with you. What step of courage, to quote Benjamin Mee, what step of insane courage is God calling you to as we launch 2018? And will you do it? Not just think about it, but step forward. Like the Israelites stepping forward into the promised land. What step is God calling you to? Maybe some of you, you're going to school tomorrow. Maybe you want to go to school and do something different, relate differently than what you've done up to this point, because you're fearful going back to school. And God's calling you to step forward courageously. Maybe tomorrow morning as you're going to work, that job is sucking the life out of you, and you know it. Maybe you've got to take a courageous step. Maybe tomorrow it means meeting with your upline and just laying it on the table. And maybe that's going to mean a big step for you. Maybe it means dusting off your resume. But if that's the step that God's calling you to, God's going to be faithful. Or maybe it means getting help this year. That you're going to say, yeah, I need help in this area of life. I need help with this addiction, or we need help with our marriage. Whatever it may be, step forward and say, yeah, I need that help. Friday afternoon, I met with one of our leaders in the church here, and I had to confess something to him. So I took a deep breath, and I confessed it, laid it on the table. Maybe you got to do the same. Meet with somebody that you can trust and have as an accountability partner in your life. What courageous step is God calling you to as we go forward in 2018? Friends, banish those fears. God is with you as you go. Let's pray. God's the one that brought you here. Right here, right now, Joshua chapter 1. What's He saying to you? Lord, I pray You'd speak right now. There's many of us that You're calling to take that step of insane courage, or we might call it here that step of godly courage. We're just moving forward in Your power. We want to hear from You right now, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe if you want to kind of, between you and God, say publicly, yeah, I'm taking a step of courage forward. If Doug did that, he said he was fearful, I can do this. Maybe just raise your hand and I'll stand with prayer with you on that. Okay. Maybe I'll even ask you about it. Yeah. If you sense that God is calling you to take a step of courage. Yeah. You just raise your hand. God sees that. Yeah. And he knows the step that you want to take in your life. Yeah. Well, Jesus, you promised to go with us. Some of us, we've been sitting on the fence for a while, something. And you're calling us to move forward. Some of us have come to a crossroads and we've looked left and we've looked right and left and right and we've done nothing. And you're saying, step forward. And we want to follow you. We want to be a people who hear from you and obey what you call us to do. So Jesus, we're ready to go where you call us to go. Amen.